My name is Vince, and I'm an addict. I want to again thank Cherie for that message, sharing a little bit of her experience, strength, and hope, a little bit of who she is with us today. I really appreciated that. Also want to thank this area for giving me the honor to do some service in Narcotics Anonymous. That honor that I talk about has nothing whatsoever to do with who I am, but it has everything to do with who God is. So I recognize today that my being here tonight is not a result of any real effort that I put into it, but the credit goes to the God of my understanding. I've learned to take responsibility for my behaviors and the things that I do today, but the credit still goes to the God of my understanding. So when I talk about being the honor of me doing some service in Narcotics Anonymous, I'm not bringing the focus on me. You know, when you look at me, I want you to see the miracle of the transformation that takes place in the life of any addict. And that's like what our message is talking about when it says that an addict, any addict, black or white, young or old, male or female, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And this topic tonight, the courage to change, has a lot to do with the third part of that message, finding a new way to live. You see, because many of us don't, I know when I first got here, when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous, I wasn't looking for true change. I wanted some things to be different, you know, because using had become a nightmare. And before I got here, I remembered when using used to be fun. And I kind of, when I first got here, I just wanted the nightmare to end in the hopes that I might eventually be able to get back to the fun. See, I wasn't looking for a real change when I got here. And in order to understand what I'm talking about, see, I, you know, the literature has helped. It's been a guide to me in this process, you know, but part of understanding the literature is using the dictionary so I can understand some of the words that are in our literature, you know. And when you're talking about, see, when you're using words, it's not enough to just look up the meaning in the dictionary. You have to take a look at how the word is used, you know, the context and when it's used. And when I hear the phrase courage to change, the first thing that comes to mind is our serenity prayer. Because in the context of that prayer, like Cherie shared with us, first word that comes out of that prayer is God. So we've immediately turned to God, okay? And we ask God to grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That phrase, courage to change, within the context of that prayer, has some significant meaning I found out for myself and for my process of recovery. See, the word courage in the dictionary is defined as mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Courage implies firmness of mind and will in the face of danger or extreme difficulty. See, understanding what courage means in the context of that prayer, in other words, courage is not about the absence of fear or the absence of any problem. Courage is about doing what I need to do in spite of the fear, in spite of the problems, in spite of the difficulty. You see, I can't exercise any courage unless there's some opposition to what it is I'm trying to do. Okay? When I first came to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, there was some fear in the beginning. The root of that fear was in the root of most fear that all human beings have, whether you're addicts or not addicts, and that's the fear of the unknown. But in spite of that fear, there was some stuff that I needed to do. And they told me when I got here that one of those things that I needed to do was to change. Now, the definition of the word change, there's all forms of change. You know, there's different levels of change. I can change shirts. You know, I can change my position, you know, I can change directions, but that's not the type of change that is being talked about in the phrase courage to change when you look at it in the context of the Serenity Prayer. It's talking about a higher level of change. Let me tell you what level of change we're talking about. Definition of change. Quick definition is to make different in some particular way, to make radically different. Transform. Okay? Change implies making either an essential difference, often amounting to a loss of original identity, remember that piece, or a substitution of one thing for another. When you're talking about change, you're talking about implying, you know, a loss of the original identity. The identity that I had when I first walked through that door was something that I needed to get rid of. I needed to lose that identity. You know, it would do us a lot of good, I think, and I have one for myself, if we had like a before and after poster of people that came into Narcotics Anonymous. You know, because that would describe the level of change that we're really talking about that's necessary, okay, for you to have something different. They told me that change you must or die you shall when I first got here. And I, you know, I said, okay, change, I can change a few things, you know, change the way I dress a little bit, you know. I can stop using the chemicals. That was a change. That's a big change. And I felt like as long as I did those little things, I was okay. But that's not what they were talking about. See, those little changes didn't get rid of that old identity. There's a lot that had to do with that old identity when I first got here that I needed to get rid of. Okay? Because the person that walked through this door is a person that used. He was a liar. He was a manipulator. He was self-centered. He was void of any contact or relationship with the God of his understanding. He was a mess. Okay? I got this picture when I go out to share at treatment facilities sometime that I take, and my lady hates when I pull this picture out because I showed it to her, you know. If I had that picture tonight to pass around this room, you would see an entirely different person. You would look at that picture and you would not be able to recognize the man standing before you tonight. Okay? And again, that only speaks to the transforming power, the miracle that happens when we get involved in this process and allow a God of our understanding to do what it is he does. You know, to do what it is he does. And it takes courage to do that, because I had no idea what life really could be like if I wasn't doing what I always did, which was using. Now, granted, I had recognized that by the time I got here, using was killing me. It wasn't fun anymore, but yet and still, it is what I had become used to. Okay? And our literature talks about how sometimes we will settle for familiar misery rather than try something new that's unknown and fearful to us. You see? So when we talk about courage to change, it requires some courage, and that courage has to come from a power greater than ourselves. Most of us, I know I didn't come in here with a whole lot of courage. Now, we can fool ourselves to think we were courageous to do some of the stuff we did in active addiction, but that didn't take no courage. That just took some insanity. Those two are not the same. Okay? It didn't take no courage, really, for me to you know, put my money in a little hole. It didn't take no courage for me to go up in them back alleys, you know, in them crack houses. That wasn't courageous. That was just insane. Okay? There was nothing courageous about that. There was no element of fear that I had to really battle, you know? Like I said, courage can only be exercised. There's got to be some opposition there. So what I got here when I started looking at, okay, having to make a change, having to do something different, you know, thinking about what could my life possibly be like if I'm not using, that was, you know, that was a very fearful thing because I didn't know anything else. See, it's one thing to recognize that you need to make a change, but it's another thing to realize that you haven't a clue as to how to make that change or what to do about it. So I had to turn to a God of my understanding, you know. And when you turn to God, you better reckon, yeah, you just like hold on to your seat because he's got some stuff in store for you. That's the fearful part, you know. But the thing is, I learned from coming in these rooms and seeing the faces of you people out there that had done it before me. And you gave me those little slogans and things that just keep coming back, you know, one day at a time. It gets better, you know. And I began to believe that because I came in here and I saw some people you know, y'all were smiling and you were dressed nice and you smelled good and seemed to be fairly happy. And some of those people that I saw when I first came around were people that I knew when I was out there using that they kind of like had disappeared and I wondered where they was at. And you know how we assume that they just in jail or dead or something like that. And you run into them here in Narcotics Anonymous. But again, that before and after effect, they don't look like you last remember them looking. You know? So if you, you know, seeing the evidence of the transition that can take place in somebody else's life will give you just enough of that, you know, courage for you to try it for yourself. And so that's, you know, that's kind of like what I did, you know? And I got with, you know, because like I said, I didn't really know how to make this change. So I had to get with some people that had gone through that process or were still involved in that process and ask some questions and find out what it was that they were doing differently, you know. And so I started taking a look at myself. And that in and of itself is fearful a lot of times because when we're out there using, we don't have time to stop and take a look at ourselves. As a matter of fact, that's the one thing we avoid, you know. We don't want to see who we really are or how we're living. But that's why God has set up a program of 12 steps that contains some spiritual principles. And what's contained in those spiritual principles is some direction that guides us really, really into looking at ourselves. And when I began to do the step work and I started taking a look at me, I began to see some things that I just couldn't believe, you know, had attached themselves to me, I'll say. You know, I don't really claim it as being who I was because it wasn't really who I was. See, one of the reasons why I got caught up in that lifestyle of active addiction was because I never really was comfortable with me. You know, I never really was comfortable in my own skin. So I started seeking things outside of myself to make me feel better about just being who I was. None of those things actually really worked in the way that I thought that they would work. But with the lack of anything else, that's what I did, you know. And so I started doing things to, you know, have people like me. I started hanging out with people that I thought was really cool and was part of the in crowd. And I figured, well, if I can attach myself to them, then some of their popularity would rub off to me, you know. And that's how I got caught up. That's how I ended up here in these rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. It was more so that desire of me wanting to be accepted than it was, you know, the chemical addiction that really got me here. You know, because it was that desire to be accepted that's what really drove me into a pattern of behaviors. And a lot of the crazy stuff I did out there sometimes really didn't have anything to do with drugs. I got to be honest about that, you know. A lot of the stuff that I did out there, you know, a lot of times drugs were nowhere in the picture. So I can't blame all of that stuff on the drugs. And that's one of the reasons why it was easy for me to understand that the disease of addiction goes far beyond just chemical addiction. You know, goes far beyond just chemical addiction. So the idea then of needing some courage to overcome the fear of making the necessary changes in my life, you know, In the step process, I got in touch with a God of understanding and realized that that was going to be my source of courage, you know. And it didn't happen overnight, just little by little. I found myself, you know, getting quiet and talking to God and saying, okay, God, you got me here. I'm going to give this thing a shot. I'll give it a try. I don't think it's really going to work, but I'm going to give it a try, you know. And first part of that was in that first step where I had to admit, first of all, that I was an addict and that my life was unmanageable, you know. And that admission wasn't really too hard for me because as I got here and I listened to some of the other stories and everybody had identified themselves as addicts, I saw the evidence of what was going on in your life, in my life. It was kind of like we had the same symptoms, you know. So I was able to make that admission that, okay, yeah, I suffer from this disease of addiction. I do have this problem. And my life was unmanageable, you know. There was a lot of unmanageability in my life. And so what happened was once I kind of like surrendered to that, I was willing to take some direction then. You know, I was willing to take some suggestions from other people about some of the things that I needed to do. And as I got into the literature, as I started working the steps, I started taking a look at myself and started making some little changes, not major changes, just some little changes that I thought would help me have a new way of life. One of the first changes that I made when I got here was the way that I communicated. Because a big part of my act of addiction was projecting an image, and I used to do a lot of cussing, you know. Had a lot of profanity in my life, and the reason I had that was because I was, you know, I was always a real little guy out there. I was little. I mean, physically little. I was short. I didn't have a whole lot of weight on me. I mean, you know, my first treatment facility I went into, I weighed about 115 pounds, you know. But out there on the street, even if you were little, if you projected an image like you were kind of crazy, you know, people would kind of like think twice before they bothered with you. So that's why I did a whole lot of cussing, and, you know, I carried a knife, and, you know, every once in a while I let the knife drop off my pocket around the door so people knew that I had, you know, little stuff like that that I did to, you know, just to try to, you know, to try to survive in that lifestyle, that image, you know. So one of the first changes I made when I got here, I said, okay, I don't have to have these people think that I'm crazy because everybody in here was crazy. So that really didn't set me, you know, apart at all, you know. But I told myself, I said, well, part of changing that image was I really didn't like cussing anyway. You know, for some reason, and even to this day, you know, profanity is not something that I like to be around, you know. So I said, one of the things that I'm going to actually consciously try not to do is use a lot of profanity when I'm talking. And it was difficult at first because, you know, you do things for so long, you develop habits, and stuff just kind of like comes out. But eventually I got to the point where I could change my way of communicating, you know. And what happened was when I was able to change my way of communicating, it made it a little bit easier for me to interact in different environments. Because, you know, as active addicts, see, we become chameleons. We adapt to whatever circumstance and environment we find ourselves in, you know. I was one way, you know, in my house around my mother. I was another way in my job if I had a job. And I was another way out in the street around my friends, depending on which friend I was around, you know. And I had got so good at changing based upon what environment I was in that I lost who I really was. So when I got here and realized that, you know something, I can just be myself. I ain't got to be cussing and make people think I'm real tough and stuff like that, you know. And it became easier for me to just be who I was wherever I was at. And today, the person that you see before you is the same person that you see if you meet me on my job, if you come to my place of worship, if you come to my home, if you see me in meetings, you're going to see the same Vince. I don't have to change for nothing. You understand what I'm saying? I don't have to be different to suit anybody. You know? So that was just, like I said, that was just one little change that took place that helped me to stay around these rooms and to help me to live a new way of life, a third part of our message that we talk about. You see, what happened was, when I reached out to God, like I said, that first word in that serenity prayer, we call on God. When I began to establish a relationship with a God of my understanding, it began to redefine who I was. I realize today that it is in my relationship with God that I find who I really am, you know? And once I began to redefine myself, then it became a lot easier for me to do the necessary things that I needed to do in order to stay not only in this process, but to lead a new way of life, you know? Now, am I standing here telling you I have become this perfect person? No, not at all. Not at all. I was just talking to somebody outside a little while ago, and we were talking about how just when we think we've made these major changes and we've become these new individuals, a certain circumstance happens, and all of a sudden that old person pops back up. The sixth step talks about it. How sometimes his old bits will come right back, and you'd be like, hey, where did he come from? You know? But the good thing about that is that we can now recognize when Mr. Hyde shows back up, you know? And being able to recognize that allows us not to allow those old ways, the old behaviors, to really dominate our life, you know? I mean, when I step outside of who I really am today, I feel it. I know it in my spirit. If I raise my voice to somebody, you know, in anger, you know, I don't feel good about that. At the time, it maybe just came out because that's what was going on. But by the time I walk away, I'm already being convicted in my spirit. That's not what I'm really about, you know. So the courage to change is like, it's about doing some things differently. And it's not about seeking, you know, a comfort zone. Because changes aren't always going to be comfortable. And that's what takes some courage sometimes, you know. Sometimes it takes courage to hug somebody that you really can't stand, you know. You ever felt that way? You ever walked into a meeting and looked over on the other side of the room and saw somebody like, ooh, can't stand that person. That's the individual that you need to make it a point of hugging before you leave that meeting. You know? Those are the type of changes. Those are the type of things that you have to do differently that brings about that transformation that God can work in your life. And see, that's really God working in your life. Because if there's somebody that you really can't stand, if there's somebody that you're really holding on to resentment for, why is it that the more and more you hate that person, seem like everywhere you go, there they are? Huh? That's God telling you that, look, there's an issue there that you need to deal with. You know? And the first time you might run for it, run from it, but God be, all right, that's okay. They'll be back tomorrow. You know? And so it takes some courage to put your ego to the side and just say, you know what? As much as I don't like this person, I'm going to at least show them some love. You know? And when you do things like that, you establish a routine, a pattern of doing that kind of stuff. It gets easier and easier and easier. And eventually you'll find that there's really nobody around that you just can't stand. There's really nobody around that you just really want to hold on to resentment with. I mean, people are people. Nobody's going to do everything the way that you want them to do it, the way that you want them to do it, you know. So there's going to be some times where somebody might step on your toe or rub you the wrong way. So what? That's life, you know. You don't have to hold on to that and make yourself miserable in those type of circumstances, you know. That was another little change that I knew that I had to make, you know. Also, one of the changes I had to make when I first got here, see, I was always in active addiction. I'm just a shy, quiet person anyway. But in active addiction, I always tried to act out and get what I wanted by being manipulative and sneaky, you know, lying, you know, that type of stuff. And that was just because, like I said, I was a small person. I wasn't even in trying to, you know, rip somebody off. I wasn't one of them guys that's just going to go out there and knock you in the head, take your stuff. I ain't had that type of physical ability. I was like more of a sneak thief. I was one of the type of people that would, you know, I get something from you and you didn't realize you got beat till a few days later. You know, that worked better for me. You know, I didn't like that direct confrontation. But it was really the self-centeredness in me that was driving me to act that way. And when I came in these rooms, I still had a lot of that with me. Okay? It was really all about me when I got here. You know? What am I going to, how am I going to get over, how am I going to get what I want for myself? That self-centeredness is what was driving me in here. It wasn't about trying to help nobody else. It wasn't about trying to get close to anybody else. It was about me just taking care of me. Well, as I got in the process of working steps and taking a look at that part of myself, and you know, they had that saying, I think you talked about it earlier, you know, somebody was talking about it earlier, you can only keep what you have by giving it away. That simply means that I had to begin to, you know, stop thinking so much about myself and think about helping somebody else. Because in the process of helping somebody else, I actually was helping me. I didn't understand that piece at first, but now I realize that that's what the spirituality of our program is all about. You see, spirituality is about being part of a whole, recognizing that I'm not an island off here off to myself. I am a part of a larger whole. And so anything that I can do that benefits that whole, I'm benefiting me. So when I reach out and help somebody else, whether they're a newcomer, whether they're a person that's got some time, whether it's a sponsee, whether it's a sponsor, whoever, anytime I reach out to help somebody else, I'm helping the whole and I'm helping myself because I'm a part of that whole. So I learned to be a little less self-centered, you know. And part of the change that happened is also the reason why I was helping people, because, you know, I did nice things for people out there, even in active addiction. I would share if I had enough, but there was always a motive behind it, you know. It was always about, okay, if I give you this, what you going to give me in return, you know. There was always a motive behind anything that I did that seemed to be nice, you know. But today I realize, you know, being a part of this fellowship that, you know, something, I can help somebody today just because that's what God would want me to do. Just because that's the right thing to do. Not because I'm getting anything in return, you know. And that helped me a lot because, see, part of my upbringing, my background, see, my mother, that's kind of like the way that we were raised. See, my mother raised us, my mother wasn't the type of mother like when she came home, you know, she didn't grab all the kids and give us a lot of hugs and say, oh, I love you, you know. There wasn't that kind of affection in my house, okay? So I never really grew up being that openly affectionate type of person, especially as a young man. As a matter of fact, you didn't show that type of affection as a young man in the hood. It meant you were soft if you did that, you know? But what my mother did do to show her love for us was that she would do something for us. Like she'd bake a cake for no particular reason or you know, buy us an extra pair of jeans or some new sneakers or something like that. You know, when she was in one of those moods where she wanted to express her love for us. So I grew up thinking that that's the way you express love. That's the way you express how you feel about somebody. So I used to, you know, do stuff for people. When I had resources, if I had some money, you know, I'd go out and I'd spend some money on somebody or, you know, try to do something nice for them. And, you know, I felt like they're supposed to read into that, okay, I like you, so they're supposed to like me back. You know, there was some motive there for me behaving that way. But I came to realize, especially in active addiction, you know, what you expect to come back doesn't always come back. And when I came in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, not being out there in active addiction, but I had some of those same behaviors, you know, and especially in my relationship with women. I didn't know anything about relationships when I got here. But I knew I wasn't using, and I knew I liked the company of women. So the only thing that I could think of was that, see, when I, the relationships that I had out there weren't really relationships. They were just business transactions. You know? And that was all that I knew. That was the way that I interacted with females for the most part. Once I got me a package or some money or whatever like that, it was kind of like, okay, let me find a female and let's start negotiating. You know? And the whole object in my mind was to give you as little as possible and get as much as possible. You know? So when I got to these rooms, I had to admit to myself, I didn't really know a whole lot about relationships. But I usually began them by, in my mind, it was kind of like a negotiation. It was kind of like, let me start doing some stuff for you so that you can respond to me in the way that I want you to respond to me. And a lot of times I ended up being victimized as a result of that. You know? I mean, let's face it. You know, we know who comes in these rooms, and all of us aren't healed yet. You know? You know? But then I learned that really wasn't necessary. You know? And I owe a debt of gratitude to a lot of the sisters in these rooms that told me, said, listen. You know, they shared their experience, they shared their stories with me, and they helped me to see that I don't have to interact with women in that way. I made a lot of female friends in these rooms, something that I hadn't really, you know, had in a long time. I've had female friends before, but it was just nice to meet some women, to talk with them, and not have any motives, get to know who they were. Allow them to share a little bit of themselves with me, and I share a little bit of myself with them, and we could just be friends. That was new. That was a change for me, you know. I don't know how much time I got, but 5 minutes? Okay. So, you know, I'm just sharing with you some of the changes that I made within my own self in terms of my behaviors and in terms of my thinking, you know, when I came into these rooms that helped me to stay here, okay? And that have given me courage to be who I am. And constantly, courage is not something that once you get it, you got it. You know, it's something that I have to ask for continuously because different circumstances will come up from time to time where I got to go back to God, I got to get back on my knees and say, okay, God, I need some courage to get through this particular circumstance. I need some courage to get through this situation. You know, because God is continuously molding me and shaping me to become that, you know, that new person so that I can lose that original identity that I had when I came in here, like the definition of change that I read to you, you know, earlier, you know. So it's just, you know, I'm just glad to be here tonight. You never know what's going to come out once. I know for me, I never know what I'm going to talk about once I get up here. I might have some thoughts in my mind before I get up here, but as soon as I stand up here and open my mouth, all those thoughts are gone, you know. So I just wanted to stand up here and share, especially if there's any newcomers in here, just to let you know that as miserable, as confused, you know, as hesitant as you may feel right now, you know, in these rooms, just keep coming. Because just like that transformation has taken place for me, it'll take place for you. There is a power out there greater than us that's at work in these rooms. You know, you're not going to get everything right away. You're not going to change overnight. So don't beat yourself up when some of those old behaviors pop back up again. Okay? As I said, the sixth step tells us we could be around here. I've been around here for 17 years, you know, and every once in a while when them old thoughts will still pass through. You know, but it gets better. You know, we do this thing one day at a time. We care and share with each other, and we trust the God of understanding to allow that transformation to take place. You know, and the more and more and more we become God-centered, the less fear that we have to battle about being in this process. I want to read something real quick that talks about that. It's in our basic text, and Cherie talked about how important our literature is to us, you know. And it's right at the end of the chapter of recovery and relapse. And it says, as we begin to function in society, our creative freedom helps us sort our priorities and do the basic things first. Daily practice of our 12-step program enables us to change from what we were to people guided by a higher power. Now recognize, it didn't say what we were when we came in, but it says we can change from what we were to people guided by a higher power. And if that change is about getting rid of our original identity, then the way I interpret that to mean is that when I came in here, I wasn't guided by a higher power. One of the changes I need to make is to be an individual that's guided by a higher power. Okay? And we do that through working the 12 steps of this program. With the help of our sponsor or spiritual advisor, gradually we learn to trust and depend on our higher power. That's where the source of our courage comes from. That's where the transformation takes place. It's in our relationship, it's in our dependency on a power greater than ourselves. Don't come in here thinking you got to do it all. That was my problem. When I first came in here, and when the first time I heard them read the steps, I felt like, man, ain't no way in the world I'm going to be able to do all that stuff. I listened to them, and I thought there might be one or two that I would do. But all 12 of them, that was just beyond my wildest. I just couldn't imagine that. That's because I was running on my own power. That's because I felt like it was me that was going to have to do it. I didn't have a relationship with a higher power at that time that I knew I could turn my will and my life over to, that would guide me through that process. Once I got to that point, these 12 steps and the spiritual principles contained within them didn't become, they're not that difficult. As a matter of fact, they make life a whole lot easier for me today. You know? A whole lot easier for me today. And I'm grateful for the transformation and the change that the God of my understanding has brought about in my life, you know. And I want to close with this saying. It's my favorite saying, and it kind of like puts it all in perspective for me in terms of finding a new way to live. And that saying is that the best use of life is to love. The best expression of love is time. And the best time to love is right now. My name is Vince. I'm an addict.
Let's thank both Vince and Sheree one more time. Attending this workshop. Anyone's hugs are around, can we close in a circle?